This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. Hold on a second. Okay. Follow the ones who don't ask you for any compensation. That's the easy translation. Follow someone who doesn't ask you for any compensation. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they're committed to guidance. This is one of the most misunderstood concepts in the Qur'an by Muslims. The Qur'an says they don't ask for any compensation, brother. Why do you have a fee for your program? No, it's an honest question. And the Qur'an says, يَشْتَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. They sell the ayat of Allah for a small price. You should be ashamed of yourself. Selling the ayat of Allah. One of the most misunderstood concepts in the entire Quran. Let me explain. The Prophet ﷺ sent Mus'ab ibn Umair to Medina. You guys know this? Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the most brilliant young men, sent to Medina to teach Quran. He used to come from a very rich family, but his family disowned him. He didn't even have clothes to wear. Actually, when he was killed at Badr, when they tried to cover his legs, his top would show. When they tried to cover his top, his legs would show. That's how much he didn't have. The Prophet ﷺ sends him to Medina to teach what? Quran. Where is he? What's he going to have for breakfast? Surah Al-Baqarah? What's he going to have for lunch? What's he going to have for dinner? The Prophet ﷺ gave him a salary so he could do his job. He was paid to teach Quran. What does it mean they sell the ayat of Allah? You know what that means? That means the ayat means something, but people don't want to hear it. So you change the meaning, and you tell people what they want to hear, so that they don't get angry at you. You give people answers they can feel good about, and you avoid talking about things they don't feel good about. That way they can continue to like you, and you'll stay popular. This is selling the ayat for a small price. That small price being the pleasure of people, the contentment of people. You understand? Here. Follow the one who does not ask you for any compensation. Follow someone who doesn't ask you for any compensation. Let's understand this. This is a principle about all prophets. Every prophet came to a nation where there was a serious problem. And you know, when a nation has a serious problem, it's like, nations are supposed to be balanced. But when they do a crime, then they start getting imbalanced, and the imbalance gets worse and worse and worse, and it comes to a point where the entire nation might crumble. And the job of the messengers is to pull them away from that imbalance and bring them back to straightness again. You understand? But when an imbalance becomes popular, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing the evil. Everybody's doing the wrong thing, and it's not being celebrated. It's become the fashion to do. Is it easy to talk about? No. Like, for example, nowadays it's very difficult to talk about homosexuality, for instance. Yes? Did Lut alayhi salam, did he live in a time where it was popular? He did. Did he have to talk about it? Yep. Did he get a lot of heat for it? Oh yeah. There's a reason it's in the Quran. If you talk about the subject, people are going to come after you. Is that really? Yeah, Lut alayhi salam is there for a reason. When you take on a subject, the entire society is obsessed with something, they're glorifying something, and you speak against it, they will come after you. Now, if you want to continue to make money, or you want to continue to live in that society, and you want to continue to be safe, then you will avoid which subjects? The ones they're obsessed with. You'll just decide to talk about something else. Maybe Lut alayhi salam should just talk about kindness to parents. Maybe you should just talk about take care of your neighbor. Maybe you should just talk about prayer. You should leave this subject alone because it's too controversial. Isn't it? If he does that, does he get in trouble? No. There's no trouble. And by the way, he's still going to be talking about good things. Kindness to parents is a good thing. Prayer is a good thing. Charity is a good thing. So why does he have to take the subject that will get him in trouble? That is the job of messengers. They came to take on the subjects that nobody else would dare take, and they would give the verdict from Allah, wal Qur'anil Hakim, they would give the verdict from Allah and give it over and over and over and over again, offending that society and offending it again and offending it again, but they did not care because that's the evil that has to be spoken out against. And clearly when someone does that, they are not interested in making any compensation, because that's the easiest way to lose your compensation. مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Follow the ones who don't have an agenda, clearly. Because this is not the way to get popular. This is the way to get destroyed. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And they themselves are in their personal lives are guided. Now understand this. Committed to guidance, actually. Public speakers, prophets are public speakers. But who else is a public speaker? Can you think of other public speakers in society? Not in the Muslim scene. Politicians? Politicians are public speakers, yes? Okay. So prophets want to tell you about policies. Change in society, yes? Do politicians also sometimes tell you about change in society?
Yes. Yes.
Sure. But when politicians tell you about change in society, we want to make the country better, we want to make the nation better, we want to make it stronger, etc., 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 and then you look in their personal life, what do you find? You find corruption. So their talk is very high, but their character is very low. And by the way, you do find that the reason they're talking about high things is because they want the presidency. They want the governorship. They want some compensation. They're after something. When the prophets speak, what do they want? They just want justice. They just want the truth. They want no compensation from you. And on top of that, if you look in their personal life, you will find they've always been committed to guidance. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. So the message is perfect, and the messenger is clean. Was this idea taught before? Yeah. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Another review. That's what the Qur'an does. It's so tightly woven. Now, in the next ayah, وَمَالِي. What would have to be wrong with me? This man is still speaking. That rajul, that hero of ours, whose name we will learn in Jannah one day, by Allah's permission. He says, what would have to be wrong with me? La أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. I'm not going to worship the one who molded me out of nothing. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you're all going to be taken back to him anyway. Now the words مَا لِي, what is wrong with me? مَا لِي. In Arabic we say, وَمَا لِي لَا أَفْعَلْ أَلَّتِي شَأْنُهَا أَنْ يُرِدَهَا الْمُتَكَلِّمُ فِي رَدٍ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ عَلَيْهِ فِعْلًا. Ibn Ashur mentions that when somebody says, what would be wrong with me, that I should do this or that or the other, that means that somebody told him, hey, what's wrong with you? Why are you leaving your religion? And he turns around and responds to them. So their statement hasn't even been recorded, but we know it's already there because of the way he spoke. Somebody said to him, hey, what's wrong with you, man? Why are you talking about this false religion? And he turns around and says, what would have to be wrong with me that I shouldn't worship the one who made me? And you're all going to be taken back to him also. Now understand this, you're all going to be taken back to him also. This sentence began with, what would have to be wrong with who? It started with himself. And by the time the sentence ended, he said, you will all be taken back to him. So who did he begin with? Himself. You know, if you want to be able to relate to people and give them this message, you have to admit things about yourself. You have to be able to tell people that you would have a problem. If I try to give somebody advice about travel, hey, you shouldn't go from this airline, you should go from that airline. If I start by saying, man, I took that airline, there were so many delays, they lost my bags, do this, and then I say, take the other airline. Does that make the advice more appealing? Because you made it about yourself first, and when you've experienced something, then you've sincerely now coming to them for their betterment. But if you come to them and say, hey, you're flying that airlines? You're stupid. Does that come across as something you want to internalize? It comes across as offensive. He speaks about himself because he doesn't want them to hate him. He doesn't want to give a hate speech. He doesn't want to give a judging speech. He just wants to talk about himself. Look, it would be a serious crime on my part if I abandoned the one who made me. And guys, you're all going there too. You're all going back to him too. This isn't just about me. This is a very loving form of speech, which already began with Ya Qawmi. That's why he came, out of love for his people. So he says, وَمَا لِي لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. Should I be taking other gods besides him? يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرٍ. If Ar-Rahman, the incredibly merciful, if he intended that any harm should come, لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. All of those other gods together would not be able to make me free. With all of their pleading and all of their intercession and all of their, please go God, let this one go, he used to worship me. None of that will help. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. They're not going to be able to rescue me. If I get in trouble with Allah, all these idols, they're not going to be able to save me. All these mythical gods are not going to be able to save me. Why would I go to anyone else? You know what he's doing here? He's criticizing their religion, isn't he? Because they believe in other gods. But instead of talking about it as, what is wrong with you? Why don't you believe in these gods? They will not be able to help you. He says, how can I believe in these gods? They're not going to be able to help who? Me. I'm just worried about myself, guys. أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ أَلِيَا إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنِ. If Ar-Rahman wants me to be harmed. The question is, first of all, he goes back to I, because now he's going to talk about their idols. You can talk about other people's religion, but as it relates to you. Why it doesn't make sense to you. Not about them, about you. This is what I don't find convincing. This is what doesn't sit well with me. This is what I cannot reconcile for myself. Why do you do that? Because you don't want this to become a contest of egos. The second thing here. Ar-Rahman. If Ar-Rahman wanted to harm, they wouldn't be able to rescue me. Wait, Ar-Rahman, does that mean the one who harms? What does it mean? Ar-Rahman means the one who's merciful, the one who cares, the one who shows love. So why is he saying, if Ar-Rahman wanted to do harm? The word Ar-Rahman and the word harm don't go together, do they? They don't seem like they go together. You know what he's telling them? You guys made fun of Ar-Rahman before. You said, مَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَانُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Ar-Rahman didn't send anything. They already used that name. Let me tell you, just because his name is extremely, incredibly merciful, does not mean that he does not have the power to do harm when time comes to do harm. Does not, you cannot take advantage of his name and think that nothing's going to happen. Oh gee, Allah is great. Nothing's going to happen. Some people want to negotiate with Allah. I do so much for Allah, so if I don't do a few little things ever, it's okay. I mean, he should understand. Really, he should understand. He should understand, like he doesn't already understand. You're in this position to talk about Allah like that? Yeah, because he's Ar-Rahman. Okay. Alrighty then. That's why you'll find some of the toughest ayat in the Quran have the word Ar-Rahman in them. Just so you become clear that just because he's incredibly merciful does not take away from his justice and does not take away from his authority. And by the way, he is Ar-Rahman in this ayah. You know why? Because when a slave of Allah, every human being is a slave of Allah, whether they recognize it or not. When a slave of Allah becomes a source of evil, then he is like a cancer on this earth that spreads evil. And then Allah does a rahmah to the rest of creation by removing him. That is also a rahman. Sometimes his mercy is to all the other creation that he can rescue them from you. إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرٍ لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. SubhanAllah. Now, we're almost done with his speech. Inni dhalla fi dhalalin mubeen. If that were the case, if I did worship anyone other than Allah, if I took other gods, I would be in such obvious confusion. I would be totally confused. He's not confused. He's saying you people are confused, but he doesn't want to offend them. So he says, I would be so confused if I did that. Inni amantu bi rabbikum. I have come to believe in your Rabb, your master. He doesn't say, I believe in my master. He says, I believe in your master. What does he do? He switches from I to you. By the way, when you go from I to you, I'll give you an equation. I plus you equals we. Does that make sense? I plus you equals what? We. So he starts with I, and he goes to you, because he wants this to be about what? Us. We're not separate, guys. I want all of us to be happy. I want all of us to be saved in front of Allah. This is not me versus you. This is me and you. Da'wah is not about verses. It's not about debates. It's not about arguments. We've turned it into that. I'm going to do a da'wah program where I'm going to debate the Christian. Something is wrong with you. That is not how it works. There's a place for that, but it's not called da'wah. That's called jidal. There's another Quran word for that. And that's a last resort. We don't do that in the beginning. Ever. Ever. So now here he says, إِنِّي أَمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمَا I have come to believe in all of your master. The master of all of you. فَاسْمَعُونَ Listen to me. Listen to me. Three messengers are talking and he says, listen to me. Just hear what I'm saying, guys. Sometimes, you know, I experience this from the position of a teacher. I teach Arabic, or try sometimes. Students are sitting there learning. And then a TA comes in. A teacher's assistant comes in. And pats the student on the shoulder. Hey, pay attention. I didn't say pay attention. A teacher's assistant came and said, pay attention. Does it have an effect? Yeah. Does it have a different effect? Yes. When a fellow student comes to you and says, hey man, let's study. Teacher says, study for the exam. Yes, of course, we'll study for the exam. Then you're watching a basketball game, 8 o'clock at night, and your friend comes and says, man, come on, let's study. Does it have a different effect? It does. This Sahabi understands that. This companion of messengers understands that. He has his place, the prophets have their place. The sun has its place, and the moon has its place. This is not competition. Listen to me. It's such a loving, beautiful speech. And I want to say here that his speech did more than even three prophets. His speech has more weight in these ayat than three messengers. Why is that? That is to teach us Allah gives victory to whoever He wants. Allah will give qubul to whoever He wants. That is not what the worldly results and the worldly consequences is not what is meaningful to Allah. It is effort that is meaningful to Allah. Worldly results are just when Allah decides He'll open the door. That's it. The next ayah says, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ We're almost there. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ It was said, enter Jannah. Wait, he was just talking to his people. Now it says, go into Jannah. What just happened? He got killed. He gave such a loving, concerned speech coming from across town to talk to his people and try to make a case with them. And they could not touch the messengers because messengers are protected by Allah Azza wa Jal. But that lone believer got killed. This story also has lessons for the believers, right? Now the few believers who follow the Prophet ﷺ are being mentally prepared. You might even get killed for this. Yasir. Sumayya. Bilal almost, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You might get killed just doing this, just talking about Allah. And so he gets into Jannah, not because he just got transported there, he got killed. And by the way, how did they decide to kill the prophets, or they planned to kill the prophets? Stone them and torture them to death, you remember this? So he must not have died an easy death. And so he goes, and that's a shaheed, because a shaheed goes straight to Jannah. So he goes straight into Jannah, and here are his words. Ya Allah, get them, because they killed me. Those kuffar. Somebody should take revenge for the believer. Ya Rab. Qala ya qawm. Qala ya layt. First words. Oh, if only. Qawmi ya'lamun. If my people just know. If only there was some way for my people to know. He still loves them. Can you imagine walking into Jannah? What would you see? ذَوَاتَ أَفْنَانٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانٍ You would see the trees of Jannah and they would mesmerize you. You'd see the waterfalls and you'd be hypnotized. You'd see the fruits and you'd go crazy after one bite. You'd see your beautiful spouse and you would go nuts. And he sees all of this and he doesn't say, whoa! He just says, oh my people, if only they know. SubhanAllah. He makes it into Jannah and he doesn't forget his people. Do you know on Judgment Day people forget everything? A mother forgets her baby? يَوْمَ تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ The day on which every feeding mother forgot what she was feeding? يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ The day on which a man will run away from his brother? You know in Surah Al-Ma'arij, وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ His mother, his wife, his children, his parents, his entire extended clan, he'll run away from all of them, he doesn't want anything to do with anybody. You'll forget. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ Quran says all relationships will be cut off, but for the believer they won't be. For the believer they won't be. He'll even go into Jannah and he will continue to love who? His people who were disbelievers and enemies of prophets, because they're still alive and they still have hope. You don't give up on people who are still alive. And it's as though Allah is telling us, almost as though He can still see them. Allah gave him camera view, like a GoPro, back into dunya, so he could see what's going on. And he's watching from Jannah saying, if only they know. He doesn't say, if only they knew. Alimu. He says, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ If only they know. So he's still watching what's happening. Allah gave him view. Subhanallah. And then you realize what sincerity means. Muslims, we've developed such a bogus concept of sincerity. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. What we've done to the word sincerity. You have to have ikhlas in everything you do. Check your intentions all the time. Check them right now. Because if you don't have sincerity, then none of your deeds matter for anything. You heard this, yes? And you have to have sincerity only and only for the sake of Allah. I'm going to disagree with that. I know. Don't kill me yet. The Prophet would tell us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about a man who did lots of sins. Lots of sins. And one day, he doesn't pray, nothing. One day, he's walking and he sees a dog, thirsty, sticking its tongue out. And the man decides that before he's going to drink, he's going to let the dog drink. Soon after, the man dies and Allah takes him into Jannah. Yeah? Let's go back into that story. That man, believer? We don't know. Does he pray? No. When he fed the dog, did he say, wait, let me ikhlas my intention. I'm only doing this for you, Ya Allah. The sticking tongue of the dog means nothing to me. It is your pleasure that I seek. And then I feed this dog. Did he do that? He just felt bad for the dog. And he gave the dog some water. Yes? So he was sincere in his concern for the dog. He had ikhlas. Yes? This man loves his people. But does he say, if it wasn't for Allah, I would hate my people? Does he love them because he's their people? And that is sincerity to his people. You have to have sincerity to Allah in your worship. You have to have sincerity to your parents, not just for Allah, but also because they're your parents. You have to have sincerity to your fellow Muslim, because he's your fellow Muslim. You have to have sincerity to your neighbor. You have to have sincerity to your job. You have to have sincerity to your school, to your business partner. All of those are sincerity. You don't try to artificially, no, you know what? I can't be friends with you because it's not for the sake of Allah. We just enjoy basketball together, and that is, that's not going to do anything for me in the akhirah. I don't know. Who did this number on you? Now you're checking your intention before you take a 3-point shot because there's no ikhlas in it. Like, what? You know? It's not how it works. We have to have clarity of intention, sure. We should revisit our intentions, sure. But sincerity is much more than sincerity to Allah. It's sincerity to all of His creation too. You have to have pure intentions towards people, not fake ones, you know? So that's love, you know, His love for people, even in Jannah. And so Allah is describing actually that love for people is something that is the quality of the people of Jannah. Listen to me again. Love for your people is a quality of the people of Jannah. So when you find Muslims who are always angry at people, they're always angry at other Muslims, they're angry at their own family, they're really angry at non-Muslims, they're angry, angry, and angry. That is not a quality of the people of Jannah. يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ Now, he says, you know, what he says, he gave this speech to his people, we don't even know his name, and his words are being recited until the day of judgment. Now think about the conversations you and I have. We talk about which iPhone, we talk about which car, we talk about which sports, which playoffs. Where are these conversations going to go? Are these conversations going to be immortal? Nope. Is this going to bring any good in the world? Nope. You know what I'm realizing as I talk about this? Words are priceless treasures to Allah. He's not a prophet, yet his words got recorded in the Qur'an. Does Allah record other things too? وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي Imam al-Mubin. I record everything Allah tells us. He records everything. So what would you rather have recorded? Something good? Some sincere advice? Did you have to have exhaustive knowledge before you said something good? Did this man have to have lots of degrees before he said something good? It's not complicated. Just be good. And look, the beauty of how tightly the Qur'an is knit, when he's in Jannah and he says, if only my people knew, he said in the next ayah, بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. Because of the forgiveness my master gave to me and made me from those who have been honored. He talked about two things in Jannah, forgiveness and honor. Yes? Forgiveness and honor. In the beginning of the surah, فَبَشِّرْهُ بِي مَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Beginning of the surah, Allah said, congratulate that lone believer somewhere that he will have forgiveness and noble compensation. You remember that? Forgiveness and noble compensation. Now in the middle of this story, this man ends up in Jannah and says, Ya Allah, you gave me forgiveness and you made me among the ones made noble. Min al-mukr. Review. Total review. This is called ihkam of the Qur'an. Wal Qur'an al-Hakim. But then the last thing about this ayah that I really love is that when he was talking to his people, he said, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. I believe in your master. I have believed in your master. But when he went into Jannah, he said, بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي. My master. Same man talking, now he says, my master. When he saw Jannah, when he was inside Jannah, when he tasted the forgiveness, when he tasted the honor Allah had given him, how Allah, by the way, what does it mean to be honored by someone? How do you get honored by someone? Can you tell me? Yeah, they recognize you. They greet you. Greeting someone is an honor. Somebody comes to shake your hand, they've honored you. Yes? I'll give it away. It's coming. Allah will say, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. In the same surah Allah is going to say, He is going to say salam to you. So in the beginning He said, I will give you noble reward. Noble reward. Noble reward. And you're like, what is this noble reward? How noble can it get? Am I going to get a medal? Is it going to give me a certificate like they do at the cheesy HIVS graduations? What's the certificate you're going to get? You're going to get a salam from Allah. That's what you're going to get. So when he got that, he just forgot that the Rabb is the Rabb of anyone else. He's only his Rabb. My Rabb forgave me. My Rabb made me from the noble. He's my master and my master alone. SubhanAllah. What a beautiful picture of a believer. Now this is what happened in Jannah. But their story should continue where? In this world. What happened here? Now what Allah is going to do is epic. Please listen to this. Because another Muslim confusion. The reason I pick this surah, every time I pick a surah, I realize Allah answers so many of our contemporary problems. This is such a living book. It's incredible. I've heard people argue that if the Muslims do an attack or they, they blow something up or whatever, and Muslims die in it, then they go to Jannah anyway, so it's okay. I've heard this argument. So if people, Muslims die or innocent people die as collateral damage, well, Allah knows He'll take them to Jannah, no harm done. Because Jannah is better than dunya. I don't know if you've heard this kind of insanity, but I've heard it plenty. Now let me tell you something about that. Allah, did He put him in Jannah? Yes. But just because Allah put him in Jannah does not mean Allah is not enraged with the people who killed him. So he comes back to the earth. While he is chilling in Jannah, having a good old time, Allah is going to take his revenge. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. We were not going to send any armies from the sky for these people, this pathetic Quraysh that think they're all that are insignificant on this earth. There's no nation lower than them in economics, in politics, in knowledge, in science. These people don't need special preparations for them to be destroyed. I don't need to send any armies from the sky. The reason armies are mentioned is because when you warn the Quraysh, I'm giving you a warning, they say, which army? Which army? And when the messengers warn them, they say, you and what army? Where's this threat coming from? You alone? And some invisible believer? And Allah says, I don't need to show them an army of angels. And they would say, okay, if you have these armies of angels that come and give you revelation, if He took over the entire sky, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. He saw Jibreel alayhi salam take over the whole sky. Why don't you get Jibreel to flex some of his muscle and take us out then? Huh? Why can't you do that? And Allah says, I'm not going to dignify you with that request. I don't need to bother angels with the insignificant likes of you. You're not even worth that. People, nations before, did Allah send angels to destroy them? He did. Allah says Quraysh ain't even worth it. Quraysh ain't even worth the angels' time. That he would clock someone, hey, go take them out. No, no, no. Don't bother. I'll do that myself. إِن كَانَتِ اللَّهِ صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً It was nothing but one large explosive sound. One shriek. You know, an explosion makes a really large sound. It's just one blowing up sound. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ And they're lights out. They're completely lit out. You know, صَيْحَة is a violent sound. And this is a beautiful literary contrast in this ayah, because when you refuse to hear the beautiful sounds of the Qur'an, and when these prophets, these nations refuse to listen to the beautiful voices of their messengers, then the only kind of sound they should hear is an explosion. And then Allah says, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ Oh, I love this word. Such an epic word. الْخُبُودِ انْطِفَاءُ النَّارِ بِخِلَافِ الْهُمُودِ There's humud and humud in Arabic. When you have a campfire, and you put it out, that's called khumud. But if you put it out, and there's a little bit of embers of yellow, orange, red left, that's called humud. But when you put it out, one shot, it's totally done. Totally done. There's not even little red dots left. It's completely put out. That's called a fire that is khamida. Khamida. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ They are going to be completely wiped out. There's not even going to be one lying on the floor crawling a little bit to his death. They're going to be done in one shot, like a fire that's put out. And by the way, by describing their death as a fire being put out, they are being compared to a fire. And if you're comparing them to a fire, then you're saying that they are dangerous. And if you let the fire go, the fire will what? Spread. And Allah as a rahmah, as a mercy to all other nations, decides that this cancer and this fire should be put out. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ And this was in result of one believer being killed. So now, at the conclusion of this second passage, وَمَا يَا حَسْرَةً عَلَى الْعِبَادِ مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ What a tragedy it is for people. Allah Himself considers that a tragedy. He does not wipe out that nation and say, see what I can do? He said, no, that was a tragedy. Allah Himself is sad for them. You know the word hasra in Arabic? It means هي شدة الندم والتألم والتحسر والحزن على ما مضى. It's really sad, deep sadness for over what happened. Allah is calling this a tragedy Himself. Why couldn't they just listen? عَلَى الْعِبَادِ What a terrible tragedy for slaves. Oh, he calls them slaves. You know why would he call them slaves? Why wouldn't he just say, يَا حَسْرَةً عَلَى الْكُفَارِ What a tragedy for kuffar, for disbelievers. He called them slaves. You know why? Because deep down inside, every human being had the potential of being Allah's slave. It's such a tragedy. You already had it in you. It's not some extra thing you had to get from outside. I already put it in your fitrah. Why didn't you just activate it? You could have pressed the on button yourself. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ Not a single messenger comes to them. إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ All they do is make fun of them. Except, every time a messenger comes, they just make fun of them. Now in this ayah, Allah does not say they kill messengers or threaten messengers. He said they make fun of messengers. But before you learned that they said that they're going to threaten them, they're going to consider them a curse, you remember that? But here, when it comes to the tragedy, he says it all begins with them making fun of them. Once the nation starts making fun of messengers, the road, the clock has started ticking to when they're going to be destroyed. The first step in their destruction, were basically, you know, in the cartoons they have that dynamite and you have like a little psss. You know what I'm talking about? Once they make fun of messengers, psss, it started. That's what's being told. Don't make fun of messengers. Because that means you're on the road to being ended. Now, when Allah says, how many messengers come, and they don't believe, they just make fun of it. You learn in the beginning of the surah, وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Reinforcement again. What a tragedy. So many messengers have come, and people just don't listen. أَلَمْ يَرَوْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ Didn't they see how many towns we destroyed before them? How many nations have already been destroyed? Didn't they look at that? Who is he talking to? He's talking to these people that are with the Prophet and saying, why don't they look at history? Why don't they look at what is behind them? Didn't they see? Yes, they didn't see because there's a wall behind them. He says, أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. They're not going to come back to them. Some of the Mufassirun traced أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ beautifully. It's a beautiful analysis. They say that they're not going to come back to them actually means that those nations that were destroyed, because they were completely wiped out and nobody survived, none of their children or ancestry survived. So none of you can say that you are children of the Pharaoh or children of the nation of Lut, or the children of the nation of Salih or Shu'aib, because those people were completely wiped out. You don't go back to any of them. You know how people say, I go back to the family of the Prophet ﷺ? So then meaning, not just they're not going to come back to them, but you don't go back to them, because their entire future lineages and generations were wiped out. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. So when you people think you're going to have a future, why are you so confident you'll have a future? And by the way, perhaps because they are completely unnamed, maybe that's why Allah didn't name the town. Because if He named it, nobody would have known, because it doesn't exist. At a certain point, Allah erased them from history and every single follower of them. Every one of that ethnicity. One ethnic group became extinct. So there's not even a point mentioning them. Now Allah says they will become extinct, which means they're forgotten in history. And then He says about Quraysh, you people are an insignificant nation. But in the next ayah, He ties it all together. At the end of this entire passage, He says, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. They're not going to come back to them. And once you die, you're not going to come back to your children. But let me tell you, there is not a single one of you. There is in kullul, every single one. And I say the entire gathering of you and the disbelievers like you from every other generation, from every other nation, all of them will in fact be gathered, but they will be gathered right before me, having to present their case. وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. This is actually a direct contrast with the previous ayah. How? Just understand that and you're done. In the previous ayah Allah says, they're not going to come back. Once they're gone, they're gone. In this ayah He says, actually, they're not going to come back to you. But they will come back to me. And when they do, they and all of your cousins from all other different nations, because you're cousins with the disbelievers of Fir'aun. You're also cousins with the nation of Lut. All you kuffar from all these different ethnicities and generations, I'll put you all together. And then you will all be brought in front of me. وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. This is what the threat was. That's being issued now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for watching these videos. If you'd like to continue to support Quran Weekly, please click the link in this video.